Welcome to the English with Andrea podcast. I'm your English teacher, Andrea Giordano from studywithandrea.com. And today I'm so excited because we have a guest on the podcast who is an author who writes all about English expressions. Today's guest is Diana Derringer. And Diana Derringer has written 40 plus publications in places such as The Upper Room, The Secret Place, Missions Mosaic, Clubhouse, Chicken Soup for the Soul, Kentucky Monthly, and Kentucky Living. Diana has also written a radio drama for Christ to the World Ministries and is a contributing author to several anthologies. Her poetry has received first prize awards from the Kentucky State Poetry Society. So I know Diana because we lived in the same Kentucky town for many years, and we had a connection over the fact that we both write for English learners. Diana has a blog at dianaderringer.com called Words, Wit, and Wisdom, Life Lessons from English Expressions. So today, Diana is going to share with you some English expressions and how those connect to some great life lessons. So welcome to the podcast, Diana.
Thank you, Andrea. I am so excited to be here with you.
Same here. I'm so glad that you're joining me on the podcast today. Thrilled about it. So how long have we known each other?
Oh my goodness. It's been several years. When you were here at Campbellsville University, mm-hmm. And I remember talking with you
several times about different
possibilities. Right. I really can't remember exactly how long ago, but it has been probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking too. Interesting. Awesome. Well, Diana, tell us a little bit about how you got started blogging about English expressions. So what drew you to writing about English expressions?
My husband and I serve as a friendship family to international students at Campbellsville University. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, one of the students from Taiwan and I were walking together most mornings. One day she asked me to explain the meaning of a new slang expression every day. So we did that. Every morning I would have a new idiom or other expression, and I would tell her what that meant and go into how you would use it. Several months later, I decided to start my blog in order to help her and other people with English as a second language understand our idioms and unusual expressions. I've also learned that a lot of readers with English as their first language enjoy the wordplay and the life lessons that go Absolutely. Along with those. Mm-hmm.
That's so interesting. And you know what I love about that story is that I would say 95% of English as a second language teachers that I know have a story about how one person from another country impacted them in such a way that got them started. So it just was one almost ambassador from another country that sparked that interest in teaching English. And your story is so similar, I think, to so many other English teachers and English bloggers, because it's really putting a face to that language of people who actually need it.
Yes, yes, it made such a difference.
Yeah, well, that's such a cool story. So why don't you tell us, our listeners, what your blog posts usually look like and what topics you cover?
Most of my blog posts have three parts. The expression, the idiom or other expression, which is the title. And then I do an explanation of that and sometimes share ways that it's used. Then I transition into a related life lesson and then close with a devotional thought. Some of the topics that I consider are fit under wisdom or self-improvement, relationships, how to deal with problems, how to find peace. Sometimes I have fun with Southern expressions. Holiday. Right. So a lot of different possibilities out there, and many of the expressions fit under more than one topic. Mm-hmm. What I found really interesting in the last year or two is that readers are suggesting most of the expressions that I use now for my blog post.
Oh, that's great.
At the end of most, I usually invite them to share any. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are taking me up on that invitation.
Were there any that came in as questions that you were really surprised to see?
You mean expressions that I was surprised to see?
Yeah, expressions that people wanted to know about that you were surprised. Maybe they had never heard of it, or maybe something that was new to you.
There have been a few new to me. I can't think of one at the moment.
Sure.
But there have been several that, you know, I've heard other people say, oh, I'd never heard that. But the mm-hmm. more of them I hear people say, oh, if they're English speaking as their first language, that they've heard that all their lives. But then I've also had one or two that I had to do a little research.
Sure.
To learn about them because they were new to me.
Sure.
And so that's been fun too, to be able to do a little searching.
Yeah, I find that with my students as well. They'll ask me what something means and I have to either think about it for a minute of why do we say that idiom or where did it originally mm-hmm. come from? And the research sometimes is not what I expected it to be.
But right.
That's like with any language. Any language has all of these deep cultural meanings that over time may not mean the same thing that they used to mean. And it's just very interesting when you dive into idioms and expressions.
With your saying that I do recall, there's an expression, good Lord willing and the creek don't rise.
Oh, I love that one.
And all my life, we use that in terms, of course, I live not that far from a creek, a small stream of water. And I thought it meant, you know, if the water didn't rise. But then I learned from somebody else that it was used referring to the American Indian Creek. And there was a time whenever there was some, you know, difficulties. And so I learned quite a bit with that one. And I actually went back after I had done my blog post and did an addendum to it to explain that part of it.
Uh-huh. Well, I would have just assumed it was the first meaning. That's fascinating. Wow. So interesting. Well, I would love for you to share a couple more English expressions that people might use during this really difficult time we are all going through with COVID-19. So we're all in this weird scenario right now where we're all at home and doing our best to stay positive. And so what kind of positive English expressions or what kind of English expressions would work right now in this time that we're living?
My favorite expression and a favorite of many of the readers was when I posted on Tough Cookie. And it means a lot to me because I consider my husband a tough cookie. The way he handles hard times amazes me. A tough cookie has often experienced a hard life. And my husband suffered from a brain tumor. And in 2004, he was only expected to live about 3 to 5 years, and he is still living.
Wow, that is a tough cookie.
Yeah, and in 2009, the same day, we don't know what happened first, he had a heart attack, a stroke, and he fell with a severe brain injury.
Oh, my goodness.
And they didn't expect him to live, you know, past the next day.
Oh, my goodness.
So, a tough cookie is a strong person.
Yeah.
My husband refuses to give up in spite of his problems. a tough cookie decides to make the most of life. And of course, we're going through some hard times right now with COVID-19. Mm-hmm. But we can still make the most of our circumstances. Now, that does not mean that a tough cookie is perfect. Nobody's perfect. Mm-hmm. Life's not perfect. But we have a choice. We can complain or we can do the best we can with where we are right now.
Absolutely.
Now, there is a second explanation for tough cookie, meaning a difficult person or who's somebody who always wants his own way or an unpleasant coworker, but I almost never hear that one.
Right. I more so hear the one you were describing.
Yes. And a little Bible verse that goes with that blog post was Philippians 4:11. I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. So even though we're going through some tough times right now, we can learn to be content, mm-hmm. in spite of all that's going on.
Absolutely. Oh, that's a really good one. I like that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Then a second one that I think really fits in, and actually I wrote it recently thinking of the COVID-19 threat and how people were feeling right now, called The End of Your Rope.
Yeah.
Franklin Roosevelt, a former president in the United States, is quoted as saying, when you reach the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. So many of us can identify with that. You know, hard times hit and you hurt. So you wonder, how will I survive, or who can help, or why did this happen? Mm-hmm. And when you reach the end of your rope, you feel like you don't have anywhere to go. It's sort of like if you're mountain climbing and you're hanging on from a cliff, but you don't have any more rope, so you feel desperate. You know, you're running out of strength, you're running out of hope, you're running out of patience. So you're ready to give up. Mm-hmm. And sometimes our problems may be very simple, like, you know, a common one, I have too much to do and not enough time. But then problems may also be life-threatening, like it is right now for some people with the virus. But whatever the problem is, this expression teaches us to hold on, tie a knot and hang on. You know, oftentimes helps on the way. Or people are willing to help us if they just know we have a need. And once we receive the help we need, then we can help somebody else.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know a lot of people feel like they're at the end of their rope right now, maybe just for multiple reasons. We have, you know, of course, healthcare workers who are extended and working longer hours and harder shifts than ever before. They might feel that way.
Like they're right.
At their rope, or, you know, parents stuck in the house with wild kids who don't understand what's going on. I identify with that one sometimes. Yeah. Oh, great.
But, you know, when you get to the end of your rope, remember two words. But God. Mm-hmm. You may not know the answer, but God does. Troubles may not stop, but God walks with us through them.
Absolutely.
Uncertainty may remain, but God gives you peace in the midst of that. Mm-hmm. And life may look hopeless, but God offers hope for this life and the life to come.
That's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Well, do you have any more to share with us today?
Well, one that was recently suggested by one of the readers was the expression, come out in the wash. Don't worry about it. It'll come out in the wash. Have you heard that one?
I've definitely heard that one. And I think it's more of a Southern American one as well.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. It really helps a lot of people with problems or disappointments. To come out in the wash means that everything will be okay. You know, it's like if you get stains on your clothes. Most stains will wash out. And in the same way, we hate to have problems in life, yet most problems will work out. Mm-hmm. Now, also, people sometimes try to hide bad behavior when they do wrong. That also comes out in the wash. We can't hide what we do forever.
Right.
So the expression tells us that with time, wrongs will be made right, truth will expose lies, hard times will pass, good will win over evil. But we must remember that some troubles come out in the wash faster than others. And for many people, in the midst of COVID-19, feels like it's going fairly slowly. But, you know, not all stains come out quickly, so we have to wash our clothes several times. Likewise, not all troubles go away as soon as we like. But I think a lot of times we worry when all we need to do is wait. Mm-hmm. And right now we're in waiting mode.
Absolutely.
Worry just makes us feel worse. Most problems are going to cause little harm. If harm does come, it usually doesn't last long. However, if we do suffer a long time, we can look for the lessons from our experiences. But again, going back to the thing, but God is with us. And life gets dirty and life gets messy and life has problems. But with God, we know that, okay, because of our relationship with Him.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, Diana, these are so encouraging to hear. And like you said before, I know that many international students or folks from other countries really get a lot out of your writing, but I know just English speakers, native English speakers, I'm sure get out a lot of it as well. People are blessed to have you share English expressions with them. And I hope that people listening today, not only I hope you learned something new, but also I hope you felt some calm and some wisdom from Diana, who's here to share it. So Diana, where can people follow you or subscribe to your content?
If they go to dianaderringer.com, mm-hmm. that's D-I-A-N-A. D-E-R-R-I-N-G-E-R, DianaDerringer.com. And people can sign up from any page on my site. Mm-hmm. And I would love for them to, and I would love to have some of your listeners suggest idioms or expressions that they would like to have explained. That would be exciting to me to know that from this podcast, there were people that heard it and want to hear more and learn more about some of these expressions that we use.
Absolutely. Yeah, I encourage everyone to go to Diana's website, and I will link that up in the podcast notes so that you can click there. But Diana, I just want to thank you again for coming on the podcast. And everybody, please check out her stuff. And if you are looking for ways to develop your English pronunciation, you can go to studywithandrea.com and join my Clear English Pronunciation class. If you're looking for more help with speaking English clearly, you can find more content there and how to join the course. But Diana, thank you again for joining us.
I really thank you for the opportunity. I have really enjoyed it.
All right, great. Thank you so much. And thanks for joining us, everyone. Until next time, happy learning.